Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes today on a bittersweet interview. Bittersweet because I have known this lady since she first got here. I think I probably was one of the first programs she was ever on. Yes. I've grown to respect her. I have grown to admire her. I have grown to love her. And she, her name is Pastor, retired, Sheila Sells.
You got to add to Sheila Scholes Ross. You
have Ross. To have Scholes, oh, I forgot the big
Scholes
guy.
Scholes Ross.
He'll be
Scholes
here.
Ross.
Scholes Ross. Ross. Yes.
Scholes Ross. Not just Ross. Scholes,
Scholes Ross.
Ross.
I when I get excited, that's what happens. Don't tell the big guy. He's a big guy, too. She was the pastor until recently of the Baptist Church on South Street under really amazing times. She's helped rebuild it. She's put more people in the pews. She is a deliverer of faith and morals and kindness and goodness. And I imagine if I didn't like her, what I would say. And I like her. But where are you headed? She's retired. After, let's go back first to when you first came. We can always
I was voted in as senior pastor at First Baptist in November 2013. And it's historic. It's historic because the church has been around since the 1700s. I was the first, only the 30th pastor.
Wow.
The first woman and first African American. And Bill, it was tough. It's tough being a trailblazer. Yeah. It really is. But when you know for a fact that God has placed you in a certain place for whatever reason, even though you may not know it, and many a days I ask God, are you sure? Are you sure that I'm supposed to be here? And each time I heard God, yes. And Bill, as I look back, I'm so glad I didn't give in to why is she here?
Yeah.
You know, is she going to be successful? I was standing on the promises of God, a great husband, supportive husband, as you said, big guy, Nelson Ross. But also I had great congregants who supported me. Did everyone at First Baptist like me? I can't say that for sure, but I worked hard to gain respect and to let them know that under no circumstances would I leave until God released me. And on December 29th, 2024, Bill, that was one of the hardest days of my life because that's when retirement set in. And Bill, I have to say this, and then I'll let you talk because you know
oh,
I
no.
can talk.
You're the interview, not me.
Especially when we're in times, no matter what someone's political affiliation is, when someone makes you feel that you're not significant or important because you're a woman, because you are African American, I work hard in ministry. Will continue to work hard in ministry. No one gave me anything. I worked hard and will continue to work hard until, well, we'll work hard when God tells me, all right, this is your next move. This is because I've been praying. I haven't heard what God is telling me to do. People are telling me do podcasts. People are telling me to write books. And I'm saying, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? Now, one thing I will tell you, I will do once we get back to North Carolina, and hopefully that's late summer or early fall, I'm going to fight for justice for all people, going to the legislature, because I will not have to worry about, okay, she's senior pastor and she
Oh, yeah.
can't say this. She can't say that. I'm looking forward to continuing the fight or continuing ministry in another capacity.
Why don't I find that hard to believe? We've known each other. We've shared each other. We've been, I would say, friends for most of the time you've been here. I mean, I
Yes.
think we hit it off from the first interview.
Yes, yes, yes,
And
yes.
I'll be candid and honest. I prayed for you to be
Thank you.
accepted there, and that the Lord would shore you up when you needed to be shored up. Because, you know, as much as we talk about balance in life and this and that, there's always, back to biblical, you know far more than I do, biblical times, there's always been haters. There's always been
Yes.
people. So, I mean, it's the devil is taking them over. And, you know, I'll catch, how can you say the devil stuff, Billy? Well, I believe it. Yeah, I believe the devil is very.
Bill, stop right there. Stop right there. Don't forget your thought. Write it down because I have pencil and paper right here. If I forget my thought, if you want to interject something, people must be allowed to have their beliefs.
Oh, absolutely.
And with that, people must be willing to not only allow people to have their beliefs, be willing to talk about their beliefs, and in the end say, okay, I agree to disagree. But something you said, Bill, I would not have been able to make it in this community if I didn't believe in God and hope. And let me tell you, they say that if you make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. Well, I'm here to say if you can make it in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, you can make it and go anywhere. That's my belief.
No,
That's
I think you're right. I think, and you've proven it. As I said in the opening of the show, I've watched you deliver a wonderful, wonderful sermons. I've
Thank
watched
you.
the church grow. I've watched people, some who look like me, some who look like you, some who look like a mixture of both of us.
Yes.
Grow into your parish, to your
Yes.
church. And I applaud you and the big guy. And I know you listen to God because it took some adjustment, I think, for some people.
Yes.
I think once they got past whatever your kerfuffle was, because I'm using that word kerfuffle tire, whatever their kerfuffle was, they got to see the real Pastor Sheila.
Yes.
The person, and I wish more people would take time to do that. I got to be honest with you. I'm burned out on nastiness. I'm burned out on vile people. I'm burned out on mean people.
Yes.
I hope I do this program. I have on the end said forever, God bless, and we need to take care of each other because each other, that's all we have. I have done that since I've been on the air. And I get criticized for the God bless. You know, don't make any difference. I'm not going to lose my hair over it, you know. So I really think more and more people now are coming back to churches. I see it in my little church, and I've seen it in yours. I've seen it in others. People, and you said it brilliantly before the show, people have hope, and hope it comes back to religion, and I don't care what religion you are. I really don't. You know, when I was in Vietnam, I would go to a Catholic service, I'd go to a Baptist service, I've been to a couple of Jewish services, because when you're there, you know, you don't know what the next step brings, so you want to be ready.
It's about community, and I never, since I was a little girl. And my mother and father used to say, well, more my mother, what is wrong with her? I never wanted to remain in New Orleans. I wanted to branch out. I didn't know what was out there, but I knew there were people who didn't always look like me. And I wanted to connect with him. When I got into seminary, when I came here, Bill, and you may remember this.
Yeah.
It was so important to me to be out in the community and build community. Now, I made some people angry, but did some things too. I remember with Father Josh, not Father, I'm sorry, Rabbi Josh Brendel.
Rabbi Josh, great guy.
Father Michael Bernier. We did something called the priest, the rabbi, and the minister.
Yes.
We built community, and people are still asking, can you bring this back? Or while I was pastor at First Baptist,
yeah,
and never could, but we did do something with Sister Colette, Rabbi Weiner, and myself. Until we come together as people, accepting perspectives, or that's not the right word, accepting, acknowledging perspectives, and being willing to at least talk, we can't be community. And Bill, please believe me, if you don't believe anything else in me, community, and now I do fight and advocate on behalf of women,
yeah,
particularly women in ministry, because my belief, why in the heck would Jesus, based upon my faith, come through a woman if women were not important? Why would Jesus be seen first by a woman if women weren't important? That's my belief. That's my perspective. And the hell, I know I said heck, but the hell with anyone who wants to say,
yeah,
how dare she? How dare she?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, Sister Colette
wonderful,
is
wonderful.
One of our, my wife and I, when my wife was going through some surgery for her knee, Sister Colette came in and spent time with us. And I mean, she's a lady of great, great, great faith. But I've known,
yes,
a lot of ladies, including me, saintly Irish mother, you know, who believed in a blessed mother to cure or do anything that needed to be fixed or whatever. And I'm not going to sit here and tell people how to believe or whatever, but I am going to tell people, stop criticizing and demeaning and being nasty to people who believe differently. You know, this election has really been divisive. And,
yes,
you know, I know of a person, so I'm not going to go, my brother-in-law's an idiot, he voted for Trump. Well, my brother didn't make this Thanksgiving. He died the Thursday before. So I tried to say to this person, be careful. Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it that you would separate yourself from family or friends over an election? I mean, I'm an old man now. I thank you for not noticing. But I am an old man. I'm in my late 70s. And, you know, every day, and I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And since I come home, I made a pledge that I would make the most of every single day, not for me, but for those who didn't come home, who will be forever 19. The last picture their parents have of them is their high school picture, their picture from maybe a picture from Vietnam, or their picture from basic training. If I don't know, I'll be honest with you, then I'll be quiet. I don't know how people make it without faith. That's just me.
Yep. That, because that's your hope. That's how you will, you are able to put your foot forward each day that you are allowed to get out of bed. And guess what, Bill? I'm going to push back at you. I said something and you said something. I talk about, and it's important to me to having discussion, but even if people disagree,
right,
we who are in relationship with God and accept that God is a God of justice, which I totally believe, and I know you believe, we have to be willing to advocate for all people, even though some people will criticize us, even though some people will put us down, even though there will be days that we don't want to get up and fight, but we have to. The story is when, okay, I'm using a military. You can help me out.
Okay.
People who are on the front line fighting. But when one soldier is shot and knocked down, other soldiers will tend to that soldier, but be willing to go forward and continue with the fight. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
And that's what we have to be willing to do. When one soldier goes down, the soldiers left behind must go forward. And that's in anything, not just with ministry, that's with all avenues, pieces yeah. of justice, going forward in spite of, going forward when you're hurting, going forward when people are pulling you down, going forward. And that's why it was so important with me to connect with you, Bill, because I want people to know that I'm going forward in whatever capacity that God wants me. But I love Pittsfield. Pittsfield must go forward also. There are some things that must be worked on that cannot be ignored. And Bill, sometimes I beat myself up because I believe I didn't do enough. Yeah. I didn't do enough.
Well, it's your recollection. My recollection is you were in the community. You were a vital, viable part of the community. You were all, and what I always will remember, always, you always had a smile. And no, but you know, some people in your career field, you know what that is, can be grumpy stillskins all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help bring people who need to be brought to the flock by being. What helps is the Sheila smile. And that's what I'm going to call it.
Bill, thank you. That touches my heart. So, because as I said, I've made some enemies
in
Pittsfield, but I always say Jesus was a rebel. Now, in my later years, well, let's go back. When I first got here, I was always in the paper, always doing this. And you shouldn't do things because you're being acknowledged.
No.
But when you become, for a better word, unacknowledged, you have to wonder what happened. And in my case, I believe because I was standing up and believing I was doing God's work, people became angry. But I still, Bill, have a love for Pittsfield. It's sort of a love-hate. I love that they initially accepted me. I love that we did some work together.
Yeah.
I hate that I hate the cold, and I plan on going back to North Carolina and to the house we build, have to do some work on, that we built, have to do some work on, because it's over 30 years old. You know, we tend to age, all of us.
I can't wait till I can join the senior center.
So this, our conversation, thank you for talking about the Sheila smile, but this conversation is a conversation about love. I know you love Pittsfield. You're involved with everything. And like you said, when I first came here, you were one of the first people to welcome me. And that's what we have to do with people. We have to welcome them. But in the welcoming, this just came to me. If they're doing something wrong, what we perceive as wrong. We have to confront them, but then confront ourselves. Maybe what they're doing is not wrong,
right?
But part of their customs and beliefs. How is that? How is that?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I believe, too, that maybe it's because of my vast adventures around the world with different cultures and, you know, sitting in South Africa with Nelson Mandela as the president and watching a nation evolve. I think that's the best word. Evolve.
Yes.
They can't fix the past, but they certainly can create the future. And
yes.
What I saw, was everybody on board? Heck no.
Mm-mm.
And that wasn't
Mm-mm.
just one side either. There were a lot of people on all sides. If I go down for anything, I want to go down for being good to everybody. And you know, I learned that in Vietnam. We had, you'll get a kick out of this. We had this kid from, I think it was the Bronx. And he would say, "Hey, Bill. I said, what? You know where milk came from? Yeah, a cow. Yeah, I never knew that. And he was serious as a heart attack. I said, well, where the did you think it came from? He said, the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonates, and a lot resonates up here anymore. A lot of it's stale and gone. But that resonates with me whenever I see people who have a different view or a different understanding.
That's it. And what are we required to?
Yeah.
Yeah. What we are required to do as people who are willing to stand up, teachers, because you're a teacher, we have to be willing to not put those down because of, for a better word, lack of knowledge or ignorance. But how can we teach them? It will be up to them whether to accept
right
the teachings. And I keep going back to Jesus. That's what Jesus was doing. But the but is, we have to be willing to teach. And Bill, I have to be honest with you. Going back to teachings, ever since I was a little girl, I have been in church. And initially, I was a churchgoer and Baptist because my mother and father mandated it.
Right.
And then they were teaching me. And then when I became a teenager and in college, yes, I rebelled. Didn't want to go to church. Oh, I'm going to the library today, you know.
Yeah.
But they taught me. And into adulthood, I'm so grateful for those teachings, because my faith has enabled me to rely on something bigger than me. But I had to accept it. I had to accept their teachings. And we have to accept, if we
right.
want change, the teachings of people who are willing to advocate or are doing, okay, now get this, positive change. I'm not talking about negative change that hurts everybody or the majority of people, but positive change. We have to do that. We have to do that.
Yeah, I know. And I, you know, as we go through and we talk about, you know, faith and all the things that come and all, and what all of us have been through, no, is me saying to the Irish mother, say, nobody goes through this world unscathed.
Yes. And say it again. Say that again.
Nobody
yes, say that again.
Goes through this world unscathed. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, have I seen it in my life. I've seen drug addicts give up drugs and are very productive citizens and giving back and teaching others how they can give up addiction. And then I've known those that couldn't give it up and died from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the personal commitment you have to you, whatever faith. I don't, these people that say, you know, well,
whatever faith, Bill, wait. I have to tell you now, yeah. I will make some people angry. And I have with this, whatever faith, no faith, some faith, but it's about being respectful towards that of humanity. Okay, go back.
No, my thing is, I don't care what faith you are, is pretty much what you were saying. You know, whatsoever you do for the least of my brothers, you do unto me.
Our sisters.
Least of my people.
Yeah,
no,
people.
Least of my people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an old guy. You know, you're lucky I remembered this verse.
but look, we
I'm a Catholic. We had the verses read to him. We didn't read them.
I know. And that's one of the things I made people angry at with in First Baptist. Open the Bible. Open the Bible and see what I'm reading. Yeah. And then ask God to lead you. Be like the Bereans. Paul said, one thing about the Bereans, they always check to see if I'm preaching what is in the book. So I'm like the Paul and the Bereans. Check this out. Read it for yourself. The way we become experts
right.
in what we believe God's word is, we read it and struggle with it. And Bill, I struggle with things in the Bible still after attending seminary, because I'll say, God, do you really? What is this regarding slaves? What is this regarding women? However, you have to take into consideration when the Bible was written.
Exactly. Just what I was going to tell you. We evolve. We are still evolving. We are grasping at straws and evolving. But in too often, I think people disregard the Bible because they forget it was written 2, 3, 5, 10,000 years ago. Maybe not in verse, but spoken in custom.
Through stories.
Yeah. You know, all I can say is that what you brought, in my opinion, and let me do this so you don't get in trouble or me. It'll be me because you'll be in South Carolina. I'll still be here freezing.
North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. That girl gets offended. Boy, watch out, Billy. The views and opinions on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or anyone else who wants to take odds. I'm an easy shot. I don't fight back. I'm too old. I don't fight back. I do want to say, though, that with the loss, and I mean that, of Pastor Sheila to this community, it is truly a loss. It is her vehement or her vigor and her knowledge of Christianity, not just Baptist, Christianity, learned from the Bible, has inspired a lot of people who know her and respect her and kind of honor her for all that she's done. I'll say this, not her, put up with, and yet kept moving forward, kept being part of the community. And that takes a special person. And I consider our friendship, hers and mine, a special friendship. Weren't always, you know, having coffee and tea and whatever, eating crumb cakes and the crumb cake or something, whatever. But we always knew we were there for each other.
Yes.
Is that fair?
That's fair. And along with you, my other dear friend who has gone on to glory, Richard Dick Lindsay.
Oh.
Dick Lindsay and I.
One of the best.
Would meet periodically for coffee and tea right there at Dottie's. And he would ask certain questions when I first got here. And then I said, okay, I'm saying this like this, and I'm meaning it like this, whether you like it or not, and I want it documented like this. And he would laugh. He said, that's one thing about you. I always will like and appreciate. And that's why he said, I'm not just saying this, Bill. I like interviewing you because you say what you mean. But along with that, if I'm saying something that's so detrimental to people,
right,
I'm not ashamed to apologize. I miss Dick, and Dick sent me a text. I can't remember when he died, but it was his comfort dog, the Saint Bernard. That was the biggest and the most beautiful dog. And I remember writing him back. It seems like you have a friend for life.
Yes.
And his response, just like I have one with you.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. I'm here with Pastor Sheila Souls Ross. I remember them all. That's pretty good for me because I don't remember where the refrigerator is. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. This is I hope an uplifting show, but I also hope a beautiful farewell show to a very good friend. And it is bittersweet because I think the world of her. But I wanted to go down to North Carolina. See, I remembered.
That's it.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. Simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1300. We are also now down in Southern Berkshire at 80 FM on your dial. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
It feels like nobody can agree on anything anymore, but disagreements lead to compromise, and compromise leads to progress, and that's the way we accomplish important things in a democracy. Luckily, we have PCTV's coverage of our local meetings, and we can see for ourselves the issues that are in front of us. We can watch our elected officials decide how to solve problems, and that service must have support to survive. Because if there's one thing we can agree on, it's PCTV's reliable coverage. PCTV, support transparency.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I am today. I'm a little befuddled. Well, most days, but today most especially befuddled. I'm saying a bittersweet interview with Sheila Souls Ross.
I know it's a mouthful.
She was the pastor of Southern Baptist Church.
Wait. What? Not a Southern Baptist. Okay. Oh, no. Southern Baptist wouldn't allow me to be a senior pastor as a woman, as a Black.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Yeah.
First Baptist Church. First Baptist on South Street. I got the everything messed. Hey, listen, you know what you're dealing with here. But we were talking off here, and I just want to say, Pastor Sheila brought a gift to this community in so many ways, her preaching, her living her faith. And she lived it by tolerating and accepting and forgiving and all these things of people. And off here we were talking, I said, I grew up on Wakona Street. And I went to North Junior High. And if you went there and the bullies would slap you across the face, you had to make a decision. The decision was to turn and walk away or to fight back. In my youth, I would fight back because I realized if I didn't, I'd get slapped across the face every day. Now, if you slap me across the face, you're the loser, not me, because I'll walk away. But
what you're talking about, in my opinion, and Bill, I'm looking around for my plug, my, is it still good, the sound?
Yeah,
still
sounds good? Great. Yep.
Okay. All right. What we're talking about right now is about forgiveness and maturity. And you wouldn't fight them right now, not just because you're a senior, a good-looking senior. How is that?
You need these more than I do. Here you go.
But it's about what you have learned about acceptance of people in spite of themselves. I like that. Acceptance of people in spite of themselves.
Well, and I think too, a lot of it is, I agree. I think it is, some people, that's all they know. I mean, I don't forget, I was in the criminal justice field for 50 years. And some people, that's all they know. They know hatred, they know violence, they know put downs. And so many of them, when I used to work with violent youthful offenders, it wasn't long before I realized this was a veneer, this tough guy, wise guy, smart mouth, all veneer, because inside that was a scared little boy. Thinking back on some of my adventures as a youth, if I can remember them. Actually, I can remember them better than I can remember where the car is. But some of the ones that I had altercations with, that I found out later in life, they had horrible childhoods. Not just a couple, we got to remember that in people. We don't know what trail they've taken to get here.
The context of their lives, their experiences. Yes, you're right. You're right.
I had one of the just a really mean, youthful offender that, he just... I read his file. I mean, social service agencies were involved with his family, his brother, his sister, his mother. The fathers were in and out. They weren't fathers. And so when I got him, it was almost inevitable I'd get him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. By his path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you have people like yourself going to a parish and taking over and promoting all the good things that you promoted. Think about it. I mean, really and truly, the dinners and all of that. But that brought people in. You know, we used to have an old pastor, little Father Foley, and he, if he weighed 100 pounds, I used to tell him, Father, you need to put rocks in your pocket. The wind's blowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? he would have had this thing. I remember as an altar boy, a sermon he gave one time. He said, next week, bring someone to church with you.
Oh, yes.
And you know, a lot of people and a lot of faiths feel I can't go back. Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that door opens and then invites you in.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But you have to have people. When you bring someone in, if you would bring someone in, I would bring someone in, the people who are there must be welcoming.
Yeah.
Must be welcoming.
That tone is set by the leaders, civilian leaders and the clerical leaders.
Yeah. And Bill, I'm going to push both of us right now. We talked about, and it sounds good. It sounds good. How to bring people together. But how do we bring people together with different ideas, different perspectives, how can we? Because everyone is not a believer. Everyone is not a church goer. Let's brainstorm that for whatever time we have left.
Not all the time, because I got to find out about this move. I don't want the big guy just going off on some whirlwind somewhere and getting lost, you know. No, I going back to that, I think it's, there was a nun, Sister Teresa Gabriel, and you know Sister Colette does this. She does this. She said to us in the fifth grade, people will judge your Catholicism by the way you live your life. And anybody who knows Sister Colette, anybody who knows you, anybody who knows really dedicated people to the Lord understands it's how they live their life. It's not just going to church. What's that song? I'm a Sunday morning Christian man. And my thing is, don't take offense at this. The most dangerous spot in the world is a church or synagogue parking lot after the service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see the Christian charity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why bother going? You have definitely influenced and affected in a very good way from people I've spoken with. There's a lot of people who are not happy or gone. But don't stay here, because I'll come and visit next winter. I'm only coming for February and March. That's all. But seriously, what's the most memorable thing, positive, happy thing that you're going to take with you from Pittsfield?
Of course, the people, the haters and the lovers. But going back to what do we do beyond the conversation, we have to live the life. We have, because people can tell when you're fake.
Oh, yes.
So we have to live the life. And once we are living the life, that the Holy One, that God, whatever your belief, that the universe has placed within you, that's when we provide or promote change. And that's and it may not be in our lifetime.
Right.
Maybe it will be in our children's, our grandchildren. And Bill, the big guy, Nelson Ross and I, we never had any children. However, every time we were placed in a situation, we tried to model what a good person should be. That's how we get around people to we address differences. Modeling what we believe is good. Modeling what we believe can affect change. Will it work every time? No.
Yeah.
But we will win some over through the modeling. Now, people may say that's being like a Pollyanna. If I didn't believe in that, then I couldn't move forward. I couldn't move forward. And Bill, I have to apologize. You said things are better. When you saw me looking around, I was trying to get the card, so I believe I'm okay. I have to say this because I know you're going to cut me off because you want to know about North Carolina more. I gave myself the entire month of January.
Yeah.
To reflect, refuel, and what I did, it was so great. When I would do my devotionals, spending time with God, it wasn't just about how I'm preparing for the sermon,
right,
or how I'm looking for things to comfort people. So that was wonderful, or is wonderful, I should say.
Yeah.
But I read the book, and I'm not a fast reader, but I read the book in 2 days. Mel Robbins, Let Them. That was life-changing for me. Let Them. Meaning whatever somebody does, let them.
Yeah.
But the other piece is, let me. What am I going to do in response to the let them? And sometimes the let them is very bad. But Let Them, the book, the Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins, wonderful author. But the other piece to it, she said, you can't just say let them, let me in response to whatever the negative piece in my perception or perspective that a person is doing, what will I do in the let me category? That was life changing.
Yeah.
And for example, Nelson, I love him dearly. I will say, why aren't you doing such and such and such and such? And I will become so angry if he doesn't do what I say do. Let them. But it's more about, or let him, it's more about my response. My response can be, okay, is it life-changing what he's not doing?
Right.
And in my later years as senior pastor of First Baptist, I didn't know I was using this theory, but when a congregant did something, I would say, let them, but let me, how am I going to respond to what they are doing? And let me tell you, that's life changing. And now that I'm able, because of Mel Robbins' book, The Let Them Theory, I'm better able to understand, and I'm doing the Let Them Theory a whole lot. But Nelson will tell you, he has been doing that for 44 years with me.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. That's pretty much they teach us that in man school. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, as you leave this community, a lot of people will be sad. A lot of people will be happy that they've known you and that you're moving on to something you want to do. And you contributed, and I think this is important for you to hear, and a big guy. You both have contributed to the overall goodness in this community. I believe that with my whole heart. I know people have told me, did you hear that Pastor Sheila's leaving? I said, yeah, I'm really upset about it. And they said, well, this was interesting. This was a lady from your, don't ask me who, but she knows me from the radio. And I saw her at Big Y. She said, you know Pastor Sheila's leaving? And I said, yeah, I heard that. I said, I'm very sad. She said, don't be. I you know, my hackles went up, you know. Wait a minute, don't talk about my friend, because I'll take your head right off. I'm going to show you what a Christian I am. And she said, she has served us well. She had brought me closer to the faith. And now she's going to go on to a new challenge. And I thought, well, I wish when I give up this, which could be sooner than later, people say something that he contributed something. You know, and like you, it's what do I get if I belittle you? What do I, how much bigger does that make me? Mm-hmm. Actually, it makes me smaller.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yes. The bride would tell you, the Polish princess, you cannot believe some of the emails we get or text messages. I mean, it's like, why'd you have that person on? They were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in your eyes, but, you know, I happen to think they have done a lot for the city. You know, when I have, like, the mayor on, not every time, but a lot, I'll get awful emails about the mayor not, like, I'll just pull this. This is one. Not plow. Yeah. Well, the mayor doesn't plow. He's the mayor. You know, and my response to people like that who will criticize you or me, can you do it? Can you do it? Because if you can do it, I'll get you a seat.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, and the sermons, again, I hate to go back to this, but I have to. Your sermons, I don't care what faith you are. Your sermons resonated for days. And that to me is a good sermon.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you. No, I mean that. Well prepared, well thought out, but delivered and meaningful. I mean, I will miss tuning you in. But if you're down there in North Carolina,
yes,
and you happen to get back, go on Zoom. But anyhow, so this move to why North Carolina?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because when I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, where Nelson and I were born, I had never seen someone who looked like me in ministry. So
yeah,
when the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill recruited me and I got to North Carolina, I saw female rabbis, white clergy, black clergy across the Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopal. It was wonderful. And I heard God say, and I, Bill, no one can take this from me. I literally heard God say, you feed my sheep, not Nelson Ross, but you feed my sheep.
Oh.
So that's why I went to North Carolina, because I knew God was calling me to something. I didn't know what the something was. But when we got to North Carolina, I said, okay, this is what the something is. And I stopped getting degrees because in running from God, I have 6 degrees.
Yeah.
I kept running from God, but I heard God say, you feed my sheep. That's how we got to North Carolina. Nelson is a hairstylist by profession. So he has a skill that wherever I go, he could go. And he said, sweetie, I'm at your side. So God blessed us. We built a house there.
It's paid for, Bill.
Yeah, that's even better.
We have to do a lot of work. But as Nelson says, it's a strong foundation, like our faith is built upon. So we will go home, even though people say, well, you were born in New Orleans, but home is North Carolina, because I had the affirmation, confirmation that God was calling me. So we will work on that home and get it back up to par.
You just take it easy on Nelson now. You know, he's not a teenager anymore.
Well, he's 71.
Well, there you go. Just a kid again to me, but, you know. but, you know, it's also a reflection on the both of you, how you made and make and are making a marriage work. You know,
it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's one for you. And this one needs prayer still. I got married 2 weeks after I got back from Vietnam. 2 weeks. And it'll be 54 years soon. But there, you're right. There's been prayer. There's been times. But we never once did it ever cross our mind to throw in the towel.
Right.
And I
you
think
fought. You fought for it. You fought for the marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. And I tell young people today when it's, I have so many friends. I have one friend. You'll get a kick out of this. He's been married 4 times. Right. So I said to him at the last wedding, if you get married again, you send me a present. But really, I mean, he's a very costly friend, but and I'm not judging him. I'm just saying sometimes you got to swallow your pride and take out the garbage. And that's a happy marriage, because I take the garbage out now with the toters. I'm really good. I wasn't as good as I was before. Thank you, Peter Marchetti, for getting me to toters. But you're going to stay here for a while longer.
Till we can pack up this condo, because we live in Rolling Hills, and sell this condo. And then we're going back, hopefully late summer or early fall, because Nelson said, sweetie, I love God and I love you, but I'm not moving in the winter. And I don't want to be here another winter.
He's a smart, smart man. I have had to do that with people, and it is no fun at all.
Maybe
we'll catch up and go out to dinner before you leave.
That sounds good. And your beautiful wife, how is she doing?
She's got me in line. Yeah.
Are you listening? Are you following the rules?
I it's just easier to say yes, dear. I tell young couples to get married. Listen, here's the bottom line, dude. You can spend all that energy, but in the end, you're going to lose. So just say right from the get-go, yes, dear.
Yes.
And right now, I mean, she's giving me a lot of responsibility because I have to have the toters out by 7. See, in the old days, I had between 7:30 and 7:45 to get the garbage out. But now, now I got to be up and out. God bless you and keep you always.
You too, my brother and my friend. I love you dearly.
And
I love you.
Love
dearly.
You, Roseanne, and I think the world of you and the big guy. And tell him I'll be in one last time for a hairdo before he goes.
And that one will be on us. We won't charge you for that.
And I, as I always say, this closing of every show, and I know it upsets some of you, but it's my show, my faith. God bless.
God bless.
And today, lift somebody's burden. Give them a call. Make them smile. Let them cut ahead of you. You'll feel better, and they will too. And remember, we're all in this together.
Yes, we are.
Help each other. What do you have to lose?
Thank you.
You are the very best, and God bless you and the big guy. And stay in touch before you go. And I mean,
I promise. I promise.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
You too.